Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Malachi chapter 2, verse 1, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. Now notice biblical language. Notice they devise iniquity. They mull it over. They manufacture it. They scheme and plan it in their hearts and minds, and even while they are upon their beds. In other words, this is to say they eat, sleep, and drink, as the saying goes, iniquity. Remember, Ecclesiastes 7:29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. This should remind us of other verses like Proverbs 4:16. It says, for they sleep not, that is the wicked, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Now, this is speaking of what we know as the fallen nature of sinful mankind, which is absolutely universal. Notice Genesis 6:5, before the flood, before God poured out his judgment upon mankind, all but eight souls. He says here in verse 5, Genesis 6, and God saw, this is why he judged mankind with the flood of Noah, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 12, this is Genesis 6, and God looked upon the earth, and what did he see? And behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So we're in Micah chapter 2, verse 1, woe unto them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. Don't you know there are many today who plan evil? They live to work evil against others. We see it all over the world today. Here in the Western world, America, we see evil breaking out and people in places to work evil breaking out and destroying the people, their fellow man, all around them. And so here we're going to see some specific sins among God's people that require judgment. So let's finish verse 1. Let's read it again. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. So conversely, those who work righteousness, who meditate upon the Word of God, who receive the circumcising effect and action and the washing of water by the Word that serve the Lord, they do that upon their bed, if you will. They do that in their heart and mind around the clock. But in the morning, instead of waking up to do evil, they work righteousness. Verse 2, and they covet fields. They covet people's lands and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. Now, don't we see this coming to pass now? We've got squatters who somehow have rights to go break into your house, and then you can't get rid of them? Are you kidding me? Just absolute absurdity. But we see that judgment is falling upon America for what America has done and for what it continues to barrel ahead, doing with no thought of judgment to fall, which they cannot, no one can stop, because God is holy, 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 and he's just, and he's not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah by not judging America. We have murdered over 60 million children. We have perverted literal generations of children who are now, many of them, grown adults, having been lied through the indoctrination system called the education system, but they have been educated in evil, in hypocrisy, in hate, and every other evil under the sun, including every type of fornication, unspeakable uncleanness under the sun. Verse 2, Micah 2:2, and they covet fields and take them by violence. So they steal people's fields, their farmlands, their houses, and they take them away. And many times we see that being done legally through paperwork, as we mentioned, with the protection of the thieves who break in and steal people's homes. We call them squatters. So they oppress a man and his house. See, all men are being oppressed under these kind of systems that are now under divine judgment. Even a man and his heritage. Notice what that takes in, where people build generation after generation. In America, you've got, if you drive around in Wisconsin and in the Midwest and stuff, you see these ancient, at several hundred years old, farmlands with farmhouses, etc., where each generation, especially the men, were trained up to farm and to make a living for the family, etc. And these things are being stolen because of the judgment that's coming across the land. We see this throughout the prophets, throughout. As you read beginning in Isaiah and you read to Malachi, 6 major and 6 minor prophets. Now, that doesn't mean that any of the prophets' divinely inspired words are less or more inspired or count more than the others. It just simply means that there are 6 major prophet books or larger volume books and 6 smaller books. Verse 3, Malachi 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this evil family do I devise an evil from which you shall not remove your necks. Get the picture? Like a neck in a gauntlet, getting ready to get cut off. And God's saying, you're not going to be able to get out of this. Neither shall ye go haughtily or arrogantly, for this time is evil. It sounds like certain judgment is coming upon them and they cannot escape. Speaking of how all of the prophets talk about the sins of God's people and certain judgment upon them if they don't repent, in this vein of thought, Sister Karen Cochran, speaking out of Isaiah 1, says this of America. She says, our nation has forgotten God. And remember, she references Psalm 9, verse 17, actually. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, where are the wicked going to go? They're going to hell. The wicked, and they've done that of their own free will, free moral agency. They've made that choice. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God. And that would include America. We have forgotten God. And we have continued to go downward in that regard of evil. So she writes this, our nation has forgotten God. This country is a, quote, people laden with iniquity. That comes out of Isaiah chapter 1, where Isaiah is detailing the utter sinfulness and wickedness of the people of God, the people who claimed and were supposed to be serving God. Sister Karen continues, it has deeply affected the very foundation of our society, from the sole of the foot even to the head. Again, she grabs that phrase out of Isaiah 1. They have forsaken the Lord and are in rebellion against him. The consequence is that we will go down in judgment if this country does not repent and turn from its wicked ways. They have provoked the Lord, the Almighty, to anger. That's Sister Karen Cochran, and she's speaking out of Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. So we're in verse 3 here of Malachi 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which they shall not remove their necks or your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. We live in an evil time, and I believe we are exactly where Israel was when this was written to them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit via an and through the prophet Micah. Notice verse 4. In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our field. So God has turned away his blessing. This is called by some redemptive withdrawal, where the Lord removes his hand of provision and protection in order in loving them and in order to get them to turn back to him. Verse 5, Malachi 2, therefore that shall cast a cord by lot on the congregation of the Lord. So what we're reading here in Micah chapter 2, in these first 5 verses, deals with the reasons for God's judgment. And they are detailed here. The rich are dispossessing the poor, we see. How they talk about they were seeing the middle class intentionally removed so that you have either the rich or the poor. And this is part of the judgment that's coming on America. The rich are dispossessing the poor of their houses, of their land. They're stealing it. They're stealing money through taxes, through numerous other venues, through the courts. As a result, this property would be taken from the rich by a foreign invader, and they would have nothing left. So it looks like even the rich who steal from the poor are ultimately going to be devoured by a foreign nation, which we already have. As you know, the borders are open. Before that, we've had infiltration from China and Lord knows how many other countries. The 2020 election was manipulated and cheated through different spots all over the world, Europe, etc. The Dominion voting machines, votes were being flipped. And these things are all forensically proven. I've seen the videos, as many of you have. Verse 6, prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. Verse 7, O thou that art named the house of Jacob. They have the name of the house of Jacob. Is the spirit of the Lord straitened? In other words, is God the Almighty's hand restricted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Now, notice, first of all, he says, is God's hand straitened or is it restricted? That should cause us to recall the words of the prophet Isaiah. Notice, saints, we interpret scripture with scripture. Sometimes we'll read a verse or a part of a verse and we'll say, what does that mean? Well, just keep reading. Keep reading, maybe start a little bit earlier than that verse again and reread that, and the self-evident truth will begin to unfold. Remember Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. He says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. It's not restrained or restricted, that it cannot save. It's not God that has been diminished. That's an impossibility. He's utterly divine. Neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He can hear. His senses and his divinity and all of its attributes are in full play at all times, and it's impossible for them to ever be hindered or diminished. But notice the answer here. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's why you're not seeing his hand of blessing and protection. That's why your prayers are not being heard, because you have iniquity in your heart. And didn't David declare that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me? Psalm 66:18. Again, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So God's ear is not filled with wax. It's not unable to hear. It's your sins that are keeping him from hearing. Notice, but your iniquities, this is the problem. It's not God, it's you. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, your what? Your sins, you're living in sin, have hid his face from you that he will not hear. This is why all of these curses are coming upon the land, because there is rebellion, even an especially among the people who claim to know the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 gives us several principles. If my people, not the world, but God's people, even though they be a few, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Don't seek a political candidate. Don't pour all your money and time into that. Don't ride that horse, because that one's go off the cliff, because it's man. And cursed be those, the man that trusteth in man. Jeremiah 17:5. Seek my face. If my people, if they will repent. Now, so many of them are so busy idolizing political candidate, spending all their money buy the t-shirts and to contribute to political causes, and it only just keeps getting worse. What is this? The lawyer for Trump, and he's been on Christian radio for literal decades. His name is slipping my mind for some reason. But anyway, listen, these people bring in millions of dollars per month from Christian people on Christian radio. Has the country gotten better or worse? I mean, this has been going on at least 4 or 5 decades. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's Jay Sekulow. Now, I'm not trying to put him in a bad light. I'm just pointing something out here. Is he fleecing the flock? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is just think if those people over the last 4 or 5 decades were serving God for real, they wouldn't be giving to a Band-Aid situation, a Band-Aid legal so-called remedy and lawyers. They would have been giving to the gospel being preached, to the Great Commission being accomplished, which God's holding every one of us accountable, you and I, to daily accomplish. What did he send us to do? To teach and preach his word. In general, that's the overarching mission. Jesus came and his apostles to teach and preach the word of God. There are other things involved in feeding the flock, and to Matthew 28, and doing evangelism, and Mark chapter 16. Just think if over the last several decades, we had been busy about the Father's business. We're trying to save a temporal country so that we can go on living in sin with nothing else bothering us. That's the problem. There's not been true repentance among those who claim to know the Lord, and obviously they are counterfeits. Otherwise, they would have repented. Those who are real repent, and they start doing God's work. The fruit, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3:7-10. That means fruit. Prove you repented by your good works. Serve the Lord. Jesus came to die so you'd serve him. Not a political candidate, not the cause of loving your country. I didn't say there wasn't some responsibility and civic duty, Nehemiah 4:14, etc. But again, rhetorical question. Over the last several decades, literally, some of you guys listening weren't even born. Many of you were. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Instead of pouring money, time, and energy and prayer into the Great Commission being accomplished by individual and small group disciples, we went ahead and wasted all of that money because we wouldn't repent. That's why we did it, because we're in darkness and we're propping up and trying to band-aid something that nothing can cure. We see here one of the things in Micah chapter 2 that he is saying that this judgment is coming and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And I would say the same thing over America, that is there still time for his people to repent? Well, I would say if we did, and we should, every one of us individually now, today, repent afresh, there will be a measure of healing upon this land. Then will I hear, that is, after his people repent, they humble themselves, they pray to him, they go before God, they seek his face, not his hand, his face, and turn from their wicked ways. That means they cease their sin. Then will I hear from heaven. It's only then that he'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice at the end of verse 7, Micah 2. Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Do not my words dwell in and those who walk uprightly? Aren't they blessed? Don't they rejoice? And aren't they full of the joy of the Lord? By way of my word. This speaks of daily communion with God in the word of God and receiving the washing of water by the word. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 25 through 27. This also speaks of what Jeremiah said, the prophet, the servant of the Lord. He said, thy words were found. He dug them out. He studied the word and I did eat them. He devoured the word of God. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. In other words, as we read in Micah 2:7, the words of God did good in the heart and in the life of the prophet, the servant, Jeremiah. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Now, could you declare that today, beloved? That could you declare, should you not declare, that your identity is in Christ? You're not your own. You are bought with the price of the very blood of the Son of God. And so, therefore, he says, don't be the servant of men. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Your identity is Christ. Let me encourage you, if you don't hear anything else today in this message, which I believe there's a lot to get out of this biblical message out of Micah 2, that you would cry out to God to establish you deeply, ever more deeply, in the identity of Jesus Christ, and begin to memorize scriptures on this matter. Galatians 6:14 might be the first one you want to start with. He says in Galatians 6, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Verse 8, even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. This is verse 8. Now, what he's speaking about here, in verse 8 through 11, he gives details about how their sins, that is, his people's, had become like an enemy of Jehovah, robbing the peaceful of their clothes, the innocent. That's what we see going on all around us today. It's like when these news stories pop up on YouTube, I gotta watch it, man. I gotta ignore them. You see people just being innocent people going about their daily life and being done wrong in so many different ways. Notice what he points out here in this passage as we're going to read. We just read verse 8. We're going to read two or three more verses. This is what's captured here is that they're driving children, innocent children, out of their own homes and women where they belong. The woman is to be the keeper at home. That's what the scripture says. The keepers, plural, at home. Titus 2:5. So they should arise and depart into exile, for the land they polluted would destroy them. Any false prophet who advocated wine and strong drink would be quickly accepted by this people. That's why you have so many false prophets that are falling every day. You see more pastors falling now, literally, because judgment has begun at the house of God, according to 1 Peter 4:17 and 18, which says the following. 1 Peter, remember this passage, chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For the time is come that judgment, notice judgment, Malachi is all about judgment and God's desire to reconcile through repentance. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, those who claim to know Christ, as was the case here with Micah, he's addressing the people that were supposed to be God's people but weren't serving him. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? In other words, they're going to hell. If you don't obey God, you don't know him. You don't love him. You're full of the love of self. That's why you obey self instead of the Savior. Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved. Now, that ought to scare the hell out of all of us right there. Yeah, the hell. I'm not saying that flippantly. I'm saying literally. I've talked to people in ministry and told them face to face, I hope that the word of God I'm preaching to you right now scares the hell out of you, because that means it's scaring the heaven, the Lord of heaven, right on into you. And you're receiving his mercy through repentance and faith in him. So, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? So let's read it again. Micah 2:8. Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. In other words, you're stripping the protection of the women and children. Notice verse 9. The women of my people you have cast out from their pleasant houses. See, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read that we are to pray for those in leadership. By the way, God holds us accountable to pray for those in leadership. Listen to this. He says, I exhort therefore, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, or 1 through 3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. What does that mean? Simple request to God. A simple, humble request. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Specifically, notice this, verse 2. For kings, that's those in positions of leadership, political, civil, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Notice God's stated will here is that we pray. And why? Because he wants us to be able to live quiet and peaceable lives. Now, the people of God in the days of Micah were not praying and were not serving God on his stated terms. And so their quiet and peaceable neighborhoods were now being invaded. Women and children were being put on the street out of their pleasant houses, where women are to be the keepers at home. They are to raise the children, the next generation, in the right ways of the Lord. Verse 9, Micah 2. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children have ye taken away my glory forever. God's glory is upon mothers, being mothers to their beautiful children. And everything this government that we now have has done is to destroy the familial bond. The building block of any nation is built upon the family unit. Even nations such as Mexico, for example, even nations who are not a Christian nation or so-called Christian nation, a nation that honors God overtly, God has blessed this nation because the family unit is intact. Everywhere you go, you see people walking down the street holding the hands of their children. Not like they're scared, just out of affection. Men and women, moms and dads, walk their children to school. I see it every morning. It's a beautiful sight. I could go on and on and on about how family oriented in a good way this nation is. And yet I've only met one or two after preaching to hundreds that are Christians. You can try to digest that yourself. I don't have all the answers, but I believe that it's because they have honored the structure of the family. And that would be one dad, one mom, husband, wife, and children. Remember, speaking of the family unit being the foundation, the nucleus, the building block for every nation that's going to go upward and going to be sustained and be blessed. Notice Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Obviously, when the foundations are destroyed, then all of the judgment is falling and everybody's floor, if you will, ground is falling out from under them. Notice Psalm 68:6. God setteth the solitary, the foundation, in families. Now you can go study this. I believe we've got a podcast on this. Just look up solitary. God setteth the solitary. Where does he set it? In families. This is Psalm 68:6. Now, verse 10, arise ye, depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. So he's telling them to leave based on the fact that judgment is coming, it sounds like. So why is judgment coming? As we've already read in every verse in this chapter so far, it's coming for their sins and that they refuse to repent. So they're being turned over to false prophets. We see that right here in the next verse, verse 11, Micah 2. If a man, because you're in darkness, basically saying walking, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood, in other words, the spirit of falsehood, boy, don't we have so many false prophets today, right? If he comes around and he lies to you saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink. In other words, I'll prophesy that judgment is not coming, that God is still going to bless you. He shall even be the prophet of this people. In other words, you are heaping to yourselves in your delusional, turned over state that's been given to you because you refuse to repent and you love your darkness rather than light. You're going to set up before you, you're going to heap false teachers. Remember 2 Timothy 4:2-4, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it's come already here in America, verse 11 here in Micah 2 for the children of Israel. For the time will come when they will not endure, they will not hold themselves accountable to obey sound doctrine. See, they want to change the doctrine of God. They don't want conditions. They don't want anything binding them. They're lawless. they want to live any way they want to live. So they flood and they run over to these false prophets who teach them out of fake Bibles. They teach them false doctrines such as once saved, always saved. They never instill through the Word of God the fear of the Lord and the necessity to be holy as He is holy and to literally obey and serve Him. They never instill these things. They stay away from these things. And the counterfeit loves this stuff. He wants to believe he's saved, but not change. He doesn't want to repent. He doesn't want to be accountable to God for his every thought, the thought of his heart and action. So notice, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, there it is, they're unrepentant and their hearts are full of lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, the word of God, the King James Bible, and shall be turned unto fables or stories. They create a God in their own image because they don't want to acknowledge the God, the one true God, who says that he commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:31, and to bring forth fruits to prove you've repented, Matthew 3:7-10. Let's finish here. Two more verses, Micah 2:12-13. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up, have passed through the gate, and are gone out of it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. So these last two verses in Micah 2 are speaking of the promise of God's restoration, whereas after the judgment which he pronounced on them, God would gather the remnant of Israel back from the exile. A breaker, that would be the Lord himself, would break down anything that would hinder their restoration. Futuristically, this seems to remind us of what we read in Romans chapter 11 about the restoration of Israel. God bless you, saints. Enjoyed going through Micah chapter 2 together. We'll move on to chapter 3 now, and I want to encourage you to read this beautiful book of Micah, pore over it prayerfully, and learn the truths. Maybe begin by praying, Lord, teach me what you want to teach me in these words from your prophet Micah. Remember, the New Testament tells us that the things that were written aforetime, in other words, in the Old Covenant, Old Testament scriptures. It's just the Bible is one book. So it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written why? For what? Our learning, right? Written for us to learn by, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 4.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.